Blog Talk Radio.
A denied entry to USA show.
You go retaliating and do towards your friends, it becomes a gang situation. Listen, you know, y'all up against the military, and then y'all become a militarized zone.
All right, listen up. Have you been stopped at the U.S. border?
Trying to keep it going, you know what I'm saying? But whoever bring the noise, you know, 209 to figure road, you know what I'm saying? We got to handle our business. We ain't let nobody step on our toes. Blood, rips, or whoever.
Do you have a criminal record? You know who you are.
Come on, bullet holes, scars. Come on, 19, 20 years in prison. YA, camp, juvenile hall, San Quentin, Spokane, Solidarity, Cork, Pelican Bay, Chino, the whole.
Well, this show is definitely for you then.
I think the police out here primarily arrest criminals, irregardless of their hue, criminal allegiance, sex, religion, faith, all that. They are out here to arrest criminals. And gang members tend to fall into the criminal realm. They're criminals. They shoot, kill, pack illegal weapons. They're criminals. So as a consequence of that, they have to have a gang division of the police department. No, but the pigs ain't out just to arrest a certain person. They are anti-criminal. I ain't mad at them. That's their job. 5-0, no, I ain't got nothing against them. As far as they being soldiers, taking money out of the bank. If they swat me on some activity, I gotta get down with them. That's the rule. Well, I ain't gonna fuck with them for no reason, and they ain't gonna fuck with me. Cause I drive by the rule. I ain't got nothing against 5-0. They push up on me, I'm getting ill. And the motherfuckers know it.
Now, reaching out to you from the beautiful Pacific Northwest, it's Ken and Lisa.
You guys already know me by now, but in case you don't, my name is Ken Scott. I'm the Senior U.S. Immigration Law Intelligence Analyst at usentrywaiverservices.com. We've got locations in Surrey, Vancouver, Burnaby, London, Yorkshire, and Tallinn, Estonia, and a small one in Washington State or whatever. And we resolve border crossing issues. So I'm here with my administrator, although she's apparently going to leave. So just show your hand at. I can't see your hand. Oh, I guess they can see the hand. Well, they might think that's my hand. Why don't you show them one more time? Just show them one so they know it's not me. They're perfect. So I'm not the three-handed monster. So now they know. And yes, we'll see you tomorrow. Okay, perfect. Let's see here. So I always have the same tradition that I always do when the show starts. I always pay a tribute to certain things, and let me find, how does this work? I may not be able to do the tribute today. That's one good thing about when you're live, anything can happen, literally anything. What am I supposed to, I guess I should go with the studio. No, I should go here. No, don't go there. No, I don't. Oh, I guess I go here. No, I don't go there either. I think this is the screen. And some of the software is a bit confusing, so please bear with me. But I have to give tribute to someone who I'm going to say is very special, or a country that's very special, because I got so many friends from this particular country. And I respect this person very much. So without further ado, here's the father.
The
with Arthur Putin. So now, today is going to be, I don't know, we're going to do 15 to 13 minutes of a show, and I'm going to get right into it. A couple of talking points. But one thing I'm going to do for you guys, because you guys always seen me in a suit. You've never seen me dressed casual like this. So since today is Remembrance Day, I'm just relaxing. I'm going to roll with the boys in a bit here. They say they want to handle some business, so I'm going along for a ride. But what I'm going to do, since today's a holiday, I'm going to have a little bit of Pinot Grigio. Because there's one nice gentleman in this online group I'm involved with. He's always telling me I drink wine. So now he can actually see me drink wine. And if he wants to see the bottle, he can have it. Obviously, he cannot afford it, but he can see it. So first thing we want to talk about, let's see here. It says about a Canadian that has a charge but no conviction. I kind of went over this before. Essentially, under the U.S. Immigration Code, it goes like this. If you have a relevant criminal conviction in the, let's say, RCMP database, that relevant conviction will make you inadmissible to enter the United States. Obviously, inadmissible means you cannot enter, for layman's terms. So if you have a relevant criminal conviction, you cannot enter. So I want you guys to just keep that in your minds. And by the way, when I say guys, it's gender neutral. It doesn't mean men or women. It's just gender neutral. So let's just say Mr. Jones has a conviction for PPT. And for people who are not aware, PPT means possession for the purposes of trafficking. So if he has a PPT conviction, obviously he's not allowed to enter the USA. So if he has PPT, I should hold the mic actually. If he has PPT, let's say for moving bricks, he needs a U.S. entry waiver, 100%, well, for the most part. So what's going to happen is, for that U.S. entry waiver, he has to show rehabilitation. If it does not show rehabilitation, he will not get approved. Rehab, we could talk about briefly today, but it's also a different topic down the road. So what I want to talk about are people who were charged with a criminal offense but were not convicted. Specifically, the last show, I talked about my friend Mr. Sukhwinder Singh and his brother Jazz. The boys don't mind the fact that I use their names. It's okay. You fellas don't mind. I don't mind. So anyway, long story short, a friend of mine brought this up today. He did not understand what I meant about if you only have a criminal charge. Let's see here for a sec. So it says right here, under the Immigration Nationality Act, any alien convicted of, keep that in your mind, that's number one, convicted of or who admits having committed, keep that as number two, or who admits committing acts which constitute the central elements of a crime involving moral turpitude, yada, yada, is inadmissible. So this is for my friend earlier who was unsure what that meant. So it's simple. Sukhwinder and Jazz, they were charged with trafficking three times to be exact. However, because the fellas are innocent, they didn't do it, they were never convicted. So these fellas, every time they go to the U.S. border, the border's always constantly trying to ask them, say, hey, Sukhwinder, what happened with the charge? Tell me. Tell us what happened. But in his case, it's because of the fact that they cannot recall specific details of the crime due to dissociative amnesia, according to what the doctor said. They technically do not need a U.S. entry waiver because, number one, they were not convicted, go figure. And number two, they did not admit to committing any elements of the actual offense. So CBP can see an actual charge and use that to go on a fishing trip. Hold up. But the thing is, that trip is only a trip. It won't go any further. So if you have a charge, this, by the way, none of this is legal advice. This is just technical specs. So if you have a charge for PPT, but you are not convicted, and if you do not volunteer or elaborate on details of an offense, the charge by itself cannot be used against you by CBP. Now, they play the game of, hauling you in the back room, asking you questions, trying to guilt you, yada, yada. But beyond that, if you do not give relevant info, I will say, they cannot use the charge against you, and then you walk. So just imagine if you guys want to pay thousands of dollars for a U.S. waiver over a lifetime, or if you want to find different methods that can save you that money. And one of the things people know about me is the fact that I will try my best to save you a dollar, because I'm a brown guy. I like saving money. So if I can save some money, I'll make sure you guys can save some money. So the links for the immigration code, I think I'm going to put in the description after the show's over. I can show you guys what it looks like. So I don't know if you can see that, but that's the main heading of it. So like I said, I don't know if that's clear or not, but I'll put the links in the description. Good, good, good. And by the way, this topic is so dry. What I like to do is kind of mix it up to make it a bit interesting, so you know you won't get bored by just hearing it and tuning out. So just FYI. And, okay, what's the next thing? Okay, we did charge no conviction. So another friend was asking me about, we kind of covered this in the last show, but she was asking me to touch upon Biden and how waivers would be easier. I hate to use that word easier because none of this stuff is, quote, unquote, easy. Now, mind you, with us, it's less complex. Well, we make it less complex, but it's not quote-unquote easy. So I guess the best way to answer that question is when Obama was in, it was less complex in terms of getting these waivers prepared and processed, adjudicated, and approved. When the nice man in the White House got elected, it was a total 360. So because of that, it made it much more difficult. But Biden's coming in, and Biden's going to be basically the same as Obama, how Obama was back then. So it should not be as bad for the near future. So hopefully that answers her question. But what I did notice back then, Obama, they did tend to be more hard on fraud offenses for some reason. Because when I say hard, I mean fraud offenses took at least 8 to 12 months to get approved for some odd reason, at least in our experience. But PPT convictions, people convicted of drive-by shooting, home invasions, all the, you know, Surrey, BC stuff, that usually got cleared either within 3 to 4 months, or some of those offenses, believe it or not, did not even require a waiver. But the trick, there's more to it than what I'm elaborating on, but I don't want to waste time on that. That's for another episode. I want to keep you guys engaged here. One thing I'm going to do in the show here, the other episodes, is I want to mix it up. We're not always just going to talk about waivers or border stuff, because that stuff can be extremely dry. What we're going to do, I just made some new contacts. I'm going to call them the Surrey Boys, and they're kind of a gangster rap type rap group, up and coming in Surrey. And I'd like to have them as guests on the episode, or guests on the show here, probably. Maybe next week or so, if they're free. So I spoke to the head guy today, so he's trying to get his partners together. So shout out to the Surrey rappers, Surrey Gangsta Boy rappers. Okay, I got the charge, no conviction. That's fine. We got that. And this is one of the things I was talking about on that online chat room, when I said I had the criteria for the ARO or CBP deciding if a waiver should be approved or denied, I'm going to tease you guys a bit. Oh, this is more so for the competitors. I'm going to tease them a bit and show them that I actually do have it. Okay, that's it. I'm trying to think of how can I do this. Yeah. Okay. I'll do it like this. Okay, I can do this. Yeah, I can do it like this. And I'll do it like this. Okay. So if you guys can see that, look where my finger's at. And what that is, it says basis for denial, basis for denial recommendation, sorry. And it's got various blocks checked. One block says recency. One box says pattern of misconduct. One box says insufficient reformation and rehabilitation. One says lack of remorse or personal responsibility. And the other one says circumstances of the offense. Let me hold that closer so you guys can see that. So this is the basic criteria if whether they want to approve or deny a waiver. It's obviously much more than this, but I just want to give you guys a bit of a tease here. And let me just do this. You guys can see that. Basis for denial recommendation, and as a basis, if you're going to get denied. Reasons for denial, and the reasons are spelled out. And the supervisory assessment. So that's for the average Joe, they won't know what this is, but this is for the competitors who accuse me of not having what I say I have. So I just wanted to make it known to them that they are full of human feces because I have what I have. And actually, here we go. Here's the other parts of it. Derogatory info in text. Texas Treasury Enforcement Customs System. Evidence of rehabilitation / reformation of character. There's a section for that. Reason for travel, the section. And the very bottom is conviction and charge. So, if you could see like the main points on this sheet, then it would make much more sense. But I will not show these competitors a thing that they can try to monopolize and take away from us. One other thing I wanted to show you guys is, for a lot of our border cases, there's certain things or supplements we use to help people get cleared because we like to specialize in the complex cases. So, and he gave me the authority to use his name. So Mr. A.C. Khan, who did 5 to 10 years in USA for, he was convicted of money laundering. He was RICO'd. He was charged with trafficking. He was charged with a bunch of other stuff, but he only had a money laundering conviction. I won't say bad part. The only thing about that is he's from Tehran, and under the current administration, they're going to be not favorable to someone from Tehran or Iran. So having said that, what we're going to do in his case is when the nice gentleman leaves the White House, we're going to push Khan's case forward. He'll get approved, but he also wants to start a business back in Los Angeles where he was convicted and did time. But I'm 90% sure we can get him clear because he has massive rehabilitation, and I won't bore you guys with that. What I wanted to show you guys, though, quickly was some of the tools that we use to help people get cleared. Again, this is a bit of a tease to competitors. The average Joe won't know what this stuff means. So, but before I get to that, I wanted to say that we have gotten inundated with work since Biden's been elected, but even during COVID, but mostly since Biden's been elected. And I hate to show you the rest of this workstation because it's simply atrocious, but just to give you an example, let's see. These are some people that I have to call back. Okay. Cause what they do, they send us like offline messages asking us about various things regarding the case, yada yada. But these are people I have to call back, etc. Try not to show any names. You probably can't really see much there. That's this stack right here. This is one stack. The second stack. Oh, I hate pulling this stuff out. Fuck, I hate pulling this stuff out. This is the second stack of stuff. People. Again, you guys don't care, but There's more people I have to bring back. So we've got inundated with so much work that, in a way, COVID's kind of helping us, because if everyone rings us up tomorrow and says they want their case finalized, it's going to be tough. But because of COVID, it's actually given us an opportunity to have a bit of breathing space. I'm going to get to the photo books in a moment. I want to talk about this Canadian pardon. Oh, yeah, there's a guy by the name of Tim who was in the group. And Tim had two questions. Tim wanted to know, when's the best time to file his waiver? I believe he said his waiver expires May 2021. So, having said that, this is already November. What I suggest for Tim, if Tim's watching, he should probably start preparing now. I mean, I don't know his conviction. I don't know if he needs more rehab. I don't know if he had PTT. I don't know what he's got. I don't know if he's convicted in Alberta, because Alberta, they tend to be very slow pulling court files for some reason. Like, go figure. So, Tim, if you're listening, the best thing I can tell you is start preparing now, getting all the relevant documents, showing your rehab. Again, I don't know what you have. And then if the border opens in January, I suggest he file in January just to be safe. Because the book says you're supposed to file when you have at least 6 months remaining, so he's under the gun in that sense. And he also had questions about a pardon. And this other gentleman who is a competitor, I'm going to call him the Karate Kid. And he knows why I call him the Karate Kid. But I will not mention his name or whatever, or his company name. But the Karate Kid is always talking against me for whatever reason. I have no idea why. Well, I know why, but I won't say. Anyway, so regarding pardon, I told Tim, and I'm going to come on now and say this. A Canadian pardon, for the most part, in our opinion, is not even worth the money. Think about what I'm saying for a moment, because we're in the pardon business as well. But I'm telling people, for the most part, a pardon is a waste of money. For the most part. I mean, if you need it, let's say for employment or security screening or something, that's a bit different. Or if you want to just basically get your I guess clear conscience, so to speak, whatever. No, that's fine too. But the pardon right there, the government fee is going to be $644. You've got to pay for the local police check, pay that fee. It's, I don't know, maybe $80 or so. Fingerprinting fee, that could be another $80. And the pardon fee to prepare the case. Now, for us, we charge a flat fee of $1,000 for every pardon. Because those are different than the border cases. The border cases, the fee depends upon the severity of the case. Like, for example, if Willie the warehouse worker in Winterpeg, has a conviction for stealing a car, then that case is a 950 case. Someone like A.C. Khan, who had the charges that he's had in the past and the conviction, who wants to open a business in USA, well, Khan is looking at easily 6 to 10K. So he and I are negotiating, working on the numbers, but it's going to be between lowest 6, the highest of 10. Khan said he doesn't care if it's 20, but I want to be fair to everyone. So I said, well, look, let me work on the numbers. Let's see what we can do for you. And I'm also getting him counsel in the USA, in California, to help start his branch office of his business. I'm just going to say he's working in the financial industry. He has his own, own financial investment firm. I'll just say that. He wants to open a similar office in the USA. So, but regarding a pardon to Tim, a pardon does not clear you to enter the USA. It might show more rehabilitation. So, yeah, you can put it in the packet, but you still need your court files to go along with it. Or I should say relevant court files to go along with it. So, again, it's kind of hard knowing without actually chatting with you, Tim. But yeah, you can add in the pardon. You can't add in either or. It really makes no difference, in all honesty. Because again, Tim, a pardon is not recognized by Homeland Security. So for the discount waiver companies who say, "Oh, they push pardons," I'm here to tell you guys that they are full of shit. Because a pardon means doesn't mean a flying flamingo in terms of crossing the border. It's only good for Canada for, like I said, employment purposes, security, or just, you know, for peace of mind, whatever. But beyond that, it's worthless. But if you guys want to spend money on it, hey, I'm fine with it. But I tell people now, like I'm telling people live on air, all of Canada, pardons, for the most part, unless it's one of the reasons I mentioned, are a waste of money. And the discount waiver companies in Ontario and those other places, the $399 Batman pardons and waivers and stuff like that, they'll push pardons because for them, that pardons are basically it's a cash cow. Cash cow, cash cow. And they know full well that pardons are a lot harder to clear in Canada because they are really strict in terms of approving them. Case in point, I got one right here I'm looking at. This nice gentleman, and I'm not going to say his name. I'm just going to say, I'll call it Mr. Jones. Mr. Jones sent me a message today regarding his pardon, and he gave me the info that I need regarding the proposal to deny it. And what he sent me is really good, so I'm going to write it up for him, get it over to him today or tomorrow, and he should get approved. And regarding that, that's all I'm going to say about pardons. So, but Mr. Jones should get cleared. I'll leave it at that. But I want to show you guys the juicy stuff. Okay, which one should I? Let me try with this one. Okay, what I have, I call it the Homeland Security Utilities Manual, Volume 1. You guys can see that. And basically what this is, oh, there we go. And basically what this is, it's a manual we've kept over the years. We've got a second one up there, too, of various tidbit type things that you cannot find online. And these are some of the supplements we can use to show, well, help you get your case cleared. But a good thing here. Here we go. I'm going to cut off right here. This is part of the table of contents. And, you know, sample L1 visa application, NAFTA employment, B1 visa information, immigration classifications. I'll skip Section 5 because competitors could use that. I'll skip Section 6, they can use that. Section 7, consequences of a criminal conviction for inadmissibility.
90 seconds.
No, you guys ignore that. And well, let's go into that. So let's dig through here and see what we can find. It's a little tricky for us because of the fact that we got so many competitors who are always trying to find whatever they can from us to use it to monetize it. But the only thing I have for them is a knee to the nuts. That's all they get from me. Like, for example,
60 seconds.
Ignore that. So this is for intercompany transferring L1, people who want L1 visas, the categories, etc., the criteria. And I have a sample in here. No, I can't use that one. I want to show you guys a sample L1. It's right here in front of me, but it's got names on here. You can't use that, huh? This is just part of the package. This shows a write-up of like a job description. I can show you guys that. That's nothing. I don't know if you guys can see that from here. I can hold it like this to see the pages I'm flipping through. I can show you guys this one. It's a CBP eligibility list for NAFTA under the TN category. And basically, when we do TNs, we just go down this list and get these items. And then we have to tailor the items to the individual case. It's the same with waivers. Same exact thing with waivers. Now, mind you, NAFTA's gone. They got that USMCA. CA agreement, so that we're still working on, trying to digest it. These were the old NAFTA categories, which, by the way, under the USMCA, they're pretty much still the same. Here's good stuff. Well, here's something good. So people who are going down under the B1 category for business, this is the criteria that the board will use. And on back here, I made a I circled one of the items that they really frown upon if you're a photographer. So if you're going down to B1 and you're Canadian but you're a photographer, they will definitely pull you aside. They think you're going to work for free, work for change. Okay, that's that one. Not holding to that one too, because competitors will take that and try to use it. Oh, when I was looking for this the other day. It's basically how the border calculates unlawful presence. I don't mind showing it. Even if the competitors see this, I don't give a flying flamingo. It's a cable for unlawful presence from the U.S. State Department. And basically it goes in detail about what constitutes lawful presence and unlawful presence. Another refill here. Let's see what else we got in here. Here's one I can show you. Let's say you're from Chandigarh, and then you're in Surrey, and then you apply for a B1 visa. You want to visit relatives and friends in California, and the border denies you. This is what the denial letter looks like. So when you get this letter back, basically you don't have the proper ties and equities to visit. It's under Section 214B of the Nationality Act. And if you guys want to know about 214B, which basically is tied to your home country, you can do another show on that another day. But just let you guys know what the denial letter looks like for a B1, B2 visa. And by the way, a lot of this stuff people give us, so because we have a 98 to 99% success rate. But the stuff kept over the years. Let's see what else is juicy in here. This is okay, I guess. I don't care if a competitor sees this. It's just the immigration codes, like what B1 means, visitor for business, B2, visitor for pleasure and tourism, yada yada. And you got C1s, you got D1s, recruitments, you got E2s, which Mr. Ben Archer does those for us. You guys heard Mr. Ben Archer on some of the other shows. What I'm finding, a lot of people here that's shy about being on air, so they'll do voiceovers or whatever, but they don't want to be on the camera. Me, I don't mind the camera. I don't give a flying flamingo, but they don't like it. And it's more descriptions, like F1's a student, E3's an investor visa from Australia. Skim through this stuff. I don't want to put you guys to sleep because, like I said, this stuff can be dry. This is just a list of different offenses that we've highlighted to show the fact that different case law we can use to possibly get the person a lifetime clearance, depending upon how we prepare the case and how we elaborate on the specifics or the merits of the case, I should say. So it's many pages of it, if you guys care. But because we like to give people the lifetime clearance if they qualify. We make a lot more money with a September letter, which basically is a letter you get from Homeland Security that says that your criminal offense does not require a waiver. Now, the competitors are going to say to me, oh, yeah, Ken, DUI. No, 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 I'm not talking about DUI. I'm talking about the other stuff that's higher on the food chain that we can get a lifetime clearance for. So I'm the first one to tell you guys, I'm not talking about DUI. But I won't go into a list of what cases constitute a lifetime. Because, again, these competitors, they circle like sharks, hoping to, you know, to get a bite or something. I got something they can bite, but I won't say it on camera. No, I won't show this to them either. I won't show this. Okay. Yeah, rest of the stuff here is really juicy stuff that they won't see. And the thing is, we have it on paper, just so the fact that I'll ask you guys a question. When is the last time a binder like this got hacked? So if this binder sitting on my work desk right now, sitting on the work desk, who on planet Earth can use that computer to hack this binder sitting on a desk like this? If you show me someone that can, I want to hire that guy because it's impossible. And this is why we do certain things the old school way, because the fact that we believe in major security, and the fact that if you do stuff the old school way, you're good to go. That's why, like me personally, 99 times out of 100, cash. I don't like using debit cards, not like using credit cards if possible. It's always cash. Because, of course, well, I won't say that. I'm about to say something else about cash. No, I won't use that one. This is one book that might help you guys out. Criminology. It's all about criminal procedure and et cetera, et cetera. So we also use this to putting together cases. Here's another one, Fundamentals of Immigration Law. I don't mind it. Competitors can look at that. But a lot of them can't read anyway, so I'm not worried. But the really juicy, really good stuff is put away. That will not be on camera. This stuff is just smart. Oh, so volume two. Definitely not showing that one. Here's another one. If you can see it from there, talks about the physical mental disorders, crimes that are not crimes of moral turpitude, marijuana smoking, interview investigation technique. That's a really good one. And humanitarian and compassionate reasons for entry. Let me find something that's neutral I can show quickly. I don't want to put you guys to sleep. Here's a really good one. And this is how the discount waiver companies will screw you. This is from CBP. It says, how long can we visit? Information for visitors. And it says right here, is there such a thing as a 6-month rule? No. There's no such thing as a 6-month rule for you to be in the USA. And this, I'm afraid to open this because then it's going to be hard to get it closed. Because it's so much, this thing is so thick as you guys can see. So, and this one, okay, this one's about if you make a false claim to being a U.S. citizen, which, by the way, in some ways, that's a permanent ban where you're not even allowed to have a U.S. waiver. However, having said that, there's actually a way around that. We got around it, one guy. And he's on one of the internet talk show episodes we did. Okay, so, nope, don't want to show that one. I can show this one. Yeah. When I say September letter, here's one of the older ones we got. If you guys can see, the older ones we got from 2010. And basically, this letter says he does not need a waiver. But to summarize it, January 09, you admitted in a sworn statement was taken, which you admitted to previously smoking and purchasing marijuana. The evidence presented in the record does not contain a controlled substance conviction. Furthermore, evidence in the sworn statement does not contain a qualifying admission to elements to the essential elements of a controlled substance law violation. It is concluded that you are not inadmissible to the United States under section yada, 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 based on that. That's very important because that's one of the things these people who admit to smoking marijuana, we can get them cleared for life sometimes, sometimes. But they changed the law in 2012, made it harder. And this one's just for police certificates from different states if you need it for immigration. It's no big. Alright. While I'm doing this, I'm supposed to tell you guys, like, share our videos, subscribe, etc., etc. But I just keep forgetting to say that. If you guys want to call in, what's the call-in number? Call-in number is 516-418-5410. So if you want to call in, 516-418-5410. So call in and we can have a chat live on air, if you so desire. The rest of this stuff you guys won't really be interested in. Because like I said, some of this stuff is really dry. Here's something regarding the Jay Treaty. That's if you're First Nations, how you don't require a waiver or even a green card to enter. So that's from the U.S. Consulate in Calgary, Jay Treaty. And the rest of this stuff, you know what? Nope, I'm not going to talk about that. Yeah. The rest of this stuff is a lot of good work product info that competitors would love. Competitors would pay thousands for this book, these two books, and the material we have. But like I said, they get nothing but... Competitors get nothing but a big smile and a firm handshake. And that's all they get from us. So, yeah. I think we covered all the points. Biden election. Yeah, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine. Yeah, I think that's everything. It covers the pardon. You don't need to know about that. This is, again, we can put it in the links if you guys want. It's just the code showing the reasons for inadmissibility. So, it is what it is. Well, on that note, this stuff can be long and dry, and I think we probably got to the point where we can shut down. So, thanks for tuning in. And now I'm going to go see, what's this here? I'm going to go see what's up with the boys downstairs. And you guys remember one thing. In the words of my Vulcan colleague, live long and prosper.
Here was Stan Dunn's bent. He got a rep for bent. Stop bent. Throat. L.A. Every day. Take a month.
Every day. Take a month.
34 to be exact. Make a spin. Atomic dog. I'm in your zone.
Atomic dog. I'm in your zone.
Boom. Now zip. Pit. Boom. Terry. I'm coming through like the roof. I'm in chains. Third life. Get it right. Then it's changed. Seven shots to my body. Ain't no killing me. Lock and load. Double back. I had you feel it. 40 Glock up on your block. Headshot. Chest break. Getting blown in the nine knock. And in the distance, ain't no resistance. Say your homeboy swear they gonna murder me. Said they heard of me. Think I'm on a murder spree. But when they roll up, Chase try to find me, that's when I'm dumping with the Fat Mac 90.
From the cradle to the grave, I've been kicking static. I've been around from revolvers to automatic. See, I'm a sander, stomp down a soldier. Much older now from back then, when I was thugging in my songs on my black swim. See, I'm a G, nigga, married to the thug shit. Here the COE, Sherm stick. That's how we do it, kicking back.
What up? Join us next time for another episode of the Denied Entry USA Show. A show to not only educate you about U.S. entryways, but we're also here to help you stay out of trouble. Make your choices in life wisely. Handle your business, or your business will handle you.
Yeah, we're gonna get y'all a little something about what happens on an everyday life over here, man. Each and every day, it's the same niggas, the same people, the same community, whatever. We don't change.
As I ride, smoking that pot, hotel stay lit, my eyes are so, they clang like fire. I keep replacing, but I know I get so higher. See, man, it's something that cut with Levi's on creep. Don't peace, if you got beef, let's handle it in the street. That's free, pancakes, my G's gon' bounce up. Spit 500 on chronic, it's smoking the whole fucking ounce up.
Okay, it's 58 minutes.
It is that long. Hey, that's that long. Hey, I've been hard to talk for more than 5 minutes.
Jesus, that's a long time.
Oh, you could, you know, anyone you show the ocean talking.
I was going to the book showing Juicy Things.
Where's your school? Put that light down. I don't remember that microphone about it.